Welcome to the YGYI shareholder call. During this call, we will be making forward-looking statements regarding Youngevity's current expectations and projections about future events. Generally, the forward-looking statements can be identified by terminology such as may, should, expects, anticipates, intends, plans, believes, estimates, and similar expressions. These statements are based upon current beliefs, expectations, and assumptions, and are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, including those set forth in Youngevity's filings with the SEC, many of which are difficult to predict. No forward-looking statements can be guaranteed, and actual results may differ materially from such statements. The information on this call is provided only as of the date of this call. And Youngevity undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements contained on this conference call on account of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. And now, here is Youngevity CEO, Steve Wallach.
Thank you, Krista, and hello, everyone. I want to welcome you all to the Youngevity International Shareholders Call. The speakers on the call today are myself, and our president and CIO of Youngevity, the parent company, Dave Brisky, and the president of Chrysos Industries, Jim Gibbons. We will cover the following topics on today's call. We will provide an update on the audit process. We will discuss SEC's amendment to Rule 15c-11 and how that rule affects our securities. We'll provide a brief update on each operating division, direct sales, coffee and hemp, and nutraceutical manufacturing. We will discuss the divestiture plan and vision for the future and anticipated timelines. Before we bring some other speakers onto the call, I'll cover where we're at on the audit process here. It's obviously really unfortunate the challenges we faced trying to deliver our numbers in 2019. In our view, we conducted our business in the same manner the previous 7 years from 2019 with the same auditors. We never anticipated that we would not be able to timely file our numbers and we would face the revenue recognition issues that caused us to miss our filings and ultimately be delisted from the Nasdaq. We're making good progress and, most importantly, have the 2019 numbers now audited, both for the 10-Qs and 10-K, and we're well into completing the 2020 10-K as we anticipate being complete in this quarter, likely by early to mid-December. We will then work on catching up the 2021 quarterly filings as we anticipate getting back to current status with our financial reporting in Q1 of 2022. We will remain committed to divesting our direct selling division from the public company. We had come to the conclusion in 2019 that the public markets did not place strong valuations on direct selling businesses, and our opinion regarding this valuation challenge remains as it was in 2019. We plan on bringing a divestiture plan to our shareholders for a vote once we become current within our reporting. Additionally, we believe our direct sellers do not fully value being public either, so we believe there are programs which we will be able to implement as a private company that will further growth for our distributors going forward. The divestiture, assuming we get it accomplished, will be a win-win all the way around. Our president, Dave Brisky, will address our vision for this in more detail. And what I'd like to do now is bring Dave onto the call. Dave?
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everybody. Appreciate you making time on the call today. And we appreciate you all listening in. We will make the call available on the YGYI.com site. It'll be put up there and uploaded so that interested shareholders can listen to it for those that didn't make the call. As many of you by now are likely aware, the SEC adopted amendments to Exchange Act Rule 15c-11. The rule went into effect on September 30th, 2021. And it was designed or is designed to enhance disclosure and investor protection in the OTC market by ensuring that broker dealers do not publish quotations for an issuer's security when current issuer information is not publicly available. subject to certain exceptions, of course. That's the category that we're in. So you, as a holder of a YGYI or YGYIP security, you'll have likely noticed the negative impact that this amendment by the SEC has had on our trading volume, which has fallen considerably. Given effects to the SEC's stated goals of encouraging public company disclosure, OTC Markets Group will use its expert market as a venue for broker dealers to publish unsolicited quotes representing customer limit orders in a category they call no information, quote unquote, securities. That's the category, unfortunately, that we are in until we get our numbers up and current. What this means is that our stock trades in this quote unquote expert market. Following the upcoming rules to Rule 155C211, companies that do not make current information publicly available under the rule will shift to the expert market. And that's exactly what's happened to YGYI and YGYIP. Quotes in the expert market will be unsolicited only. And this means that broker dealers may use the expert market to meet their best execution responsibilities under FINRA rules and publish unsolicited quotes representing limit orders from retail and institutional investors who are not affiliates or insiders of the company. What does this mean? Well, pretty simply to me, it means that we need to get current on our financial reporting as quickly as possible so that we can get back to normal trading experiences for our investors. And that's exactly what we plan to do. And I think Steve did a great job discussing the timeline. It's also important for me to mention that while in this expert market, securities are not DTC eligible. And that's one of the things that causes the low trading volume, because there's a number of issues with that, as it's difficult for the stock to be cleared. And many, many firms are not allowed to trade a stock that is not DTC eligible. So we see the expert market has a lot of challenges. So obviously we're very keen on getting our filings current and moving into a normal trading pattern. On one positive note, in regards to the YGYIP dividend paying stock, the DTC is continuing to distribute the dividends that are paid out on our YGYIP security. So those that hold YGYIP should see continued dividends flowing into their account as they always had before. So this should be normalized for those holding YGYIP. I did check with several preferred shareholders on the dividend that was issued on October 15th, and they in fact confirmed those dividends flowed into their brokerage account as normal. Given the lack of public information, we now would like to start to provide more regular updates regarding our three business segments as we march forward to delivering our numbers and getting on a normal pattern and a normal trading pattern for our stock. We're going to talk about coffee, our nutraceutical hemp manufacturing business, and the direct selling business. Since I'm already speaking, I'll just delve right into the coffee business, and then we'll get into the other two enterprises of the company. Make no question about it, the last couple of years have been an unbelievably big challenge. COVID-19 has created a number of challenges for our coffee business, and the container shortage, which I'm sure everybody is aware of, added to those challenges, as 100% of the coffee that we export out of Nicaragua, by example, has to be put on a container ship to ship to our customers. So the combination of those two have made a very, very difficult 2 years. Certainly the largest struggle I've had in my business career has been these last couple of years with what we've had to deal with. But I see a light at the end of the tunnel, and things are absolutely improving. I'm also seeing that what happened in these markets has eliminated a number of weak hands. And we're going to talk about that later in the call when we talk about the divestiture. But these weak hands were those companies that just were maybe focused on one type of business where they had nothing else to fall back on, presented some opportunities for us that we were able to take advantage of. And we'll talk about that later in the call. As you also know, we are 26% of the roasted coffee business comes from the cruise line business. Largest supplier in North America is our company, and it's through CLR Roasters. And with COVID-19, no ships sailed. So you can imagine the challenges that we faced with those cruise lines essentially going offline. I'm happy to say that When I looked at our open order reports over the last couple of weeks, we're seeing Carnival, at least 50% now of their ships are sailing, and I'm happy to say that they're sailing completely full. We're also seeing half of Norwegian's fleet sailing, and it is wonderful to see these ships being shipped weekly by our coffee roasting operation and see this revenue flowing back into our business. We are able to obtain forward booking information from our cruise line customers, and they have confirmed that they are at 100% occupancy going into next year. So we expect in Q1 to see Carnival to be completely online with their entire fleet, as well as Norwegian, and this will obviously bode well as we enter into 2022 for the coffee business. We've also done okay when watching the various brands that we bid on. As you can imagine, with this container shortage and supply shortage, it's been difficult for the grocers and their branded business, and it's been very difficult to see to gain new business, as the last thing they were doing is putting out new RFPs or requests for bids and proposals. However, the businesses that we did have, we were able to extend during this period, so we took advantage of that situation with our current branded customers. With that, Topco Brands have extended their contract with us for an additional 2 years. That now has also extended into other brands. We are the supplier for Big Y, Hy-V, Chinook stores, many of Topco's brands beyond that. We also were able to extend our relationship with Superstore Industries, which owns Save Mart Corporation, which has a number of distribution outlets on the West Coast. And Josie's Java House, which of course, if you recall, is a company-owned brand, has been picked up by Southeastern Grocers, so its distribution is expanding. And our company-owned Cafe Lurica brand is now on planogram with the public stores, the 284 public stores so far and growing. And it also now has become a key item at Bravo's, Presidente's, Sedano's, Walmart, and many independent stores. And I'm happy to see that the Cafe Lurica brand is also expanding back into the food service business. Of course, we launched that food service business, which is essentially shipping the restaurants and the up and down the street business. And of course, with COVID, many of those operations shut down. We are seeing them beginning to come back to life. And we got our vans now back on the road again with drivers. And we're seeing that business bounce back as well. I'm going to get into the green coffee distribution business when we talk about the divestiture plan and the growth we have and for the add-on businesses, because the green coffee distribution business definitely had a tough year as we were into 2020 because of the container shortages. We just could not get coffee on containers to get them out of the country to any scale. And so we are finally seeing, as we get halfway through now 2021, that this is coming back as well. We're seeing containers starting to loosen up, at least in Nicaragua. I'm sure those of you that watch the news see this issue developing off the coast of California, but frankly speaking, we are seeing product finally moving out of Central America, and we've taken advantage of a growth opportunity that was presented to us because of the situation with the container shortages that helped eliminate some weak hands or some one-dimensional companies, and I'll talk about that later in the call. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to have Jim Gibbons. Jim Gibbons is new to our company. We're very, very fortunate to have a man of his stature as part of our business. He's been in the manufacturing and nutraceutical business, the product development business for many, many years. And it's tough to find a guy with this kind of talent and bring him on your team. So we're excited to see him leading Chrysos Industries and frankly, taking that division and expanding it well beyond CBD and hemp and those types of products, but into all types of nutraceutical products. So we'll bring Jim Gibbons on to the call, let him talk a little bit about his background and what his plans are for Chrysos Industries. Jim Gibbons.
Dave, first and foremost, let me thank everyone for the opportunity to speak. I'm proud and honored to be part of such a talented team here at Chrysos. The team is rock solid, and as we expand and grow into the future, the team is only going to get stronger. A little bit of background on myself. I've been in the nutraceutical industry for 40 years, probably 40 years, where I started with essentially a startup company, worked my way up through the company, have done every position within that firm, and ultimately was president of the company. We had approximately 800 SKUs, which sold in 92 countries, all of which were nutraceutical products. ranging from vitamins, minerals, protein, diet products, herbs, etc. We had a in-field sales force as well, so I'm very well versed in the nutraceutical market, health food stores, direct distribution. So I'm excited to take that experience and bring it here to the Chrysos division. Just a little bit about our plan for the future. We here at Chrysos, certainly we are a dominant player in the hemp space, and as that market continues to consolidate, and as the bad actors are regulated out of this industry, we will be left with a very straightforward path for the future, in that only very well regulated CGMP manufactured products will be on the market, and we are positioned as that manufacturer. We are CGMP certified, one of the few in this industry. But to me, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the talent we have here can also apply that same talent and ingenuity to any nutraceutical. So there's really no reason why we should be confined to the CBD hemp space. Clearly, we will continue to hone our abilities and become be the dominant factor we are now. But I'd like to expand that into nutraceuticals. And, the market is much, much broader. And to me, I define hemp as just a nutraceutical ingredient. So we should capitalize on that as well. So just a brief background of the hemp and nutraceutical market. Both are very dynamic and evolving markets. They're obviously they're positive to health. And as the wave of consumer interest continues to delve into self-care and avoiding prescription medications, I believe both these markets will continue to grow at a rapid rate. In our current position here at Chrysos, we have the team, but we plan on expanding this team with dynamic partnerships as well, which will help us transition from a hemp supplier, manufacturer, distributor to a full service nutraceutical manufacturer as well. Our current capabilities here, obviously we do make equipment, high-end equipment, one of the highest end extraction equipment in the world, from supercritical CO2 extraction units to decarboxylation to rotovaps, etc. We will continue that path, and also I'll give you a basic plan forward where we can expand our growth and sales. Hemp processing will continue to be one of our core competencies, both raw material sales. We currently produce tinctures, soft gels, gummies, topicals, and spa products. So, and we will continue to do so. But again, we will be expanding that capability quite dramatically. Just to give you a understanding of the markets that we're in and the market we want to get in, the hemp market size right now is approximately $4.6 billion, and experts are saying that should grow to approximately $27 billion by the year 2027. That is significant growth that very few industries will experience, and we are poised to capitalize on that market. The nutraceutical market size, which is where we are headed, currently is $382 billion and expected to grow to $722 plus by 2027. So as you can see, that's a significant market that we are entering. But really, I don't believe we're entering it. I believe we're already in it. But we just have to branch out from that one category, from hemp, into all nutraceuticals. All of our equipment, all of our capabilities, all of our expertise that we apply to hemp can easily be applied to nutraceuticals, and we will do so and are already beginning that transition. So the path forward, I'll just break down quickly. Our equipment sales, we are partnering with broker networks as opposed to independent sales rep broker networks that specialize in high-end equipment sales, and we expect that to explode our equipment sales. Also, we are redefining what our equipment is and can be used for. The technology that we use for hemp extraction is the identical technology used for any type of herbal extraction, from echinacea to St. John's wort to feverfew to valerian root, many herbs that many of you have heard of. Our equipment will certainly dovetails nicely with those industries, and we plan on doing that. If you look at the path forward for our branded and private label products, we did have a brand. I suspended that brand, and we are now with a strategic partnership with a marketing firm out of Manhattan. We will be introducing a brand new brand. That brand is called Kanuba, and that will be available the beginning of 2022. And it is not your traditional hemp brand. It will be hemp-based, certainly, but there will be scientific advancements in each formulation, which sets us well above any competition. And again, that's for first quarter 2022. Contract manufacturing, we will continue to contract manufacture and private label products, but we're expanding that beyond the hemp space and will include nutraceuticals. You know, for example, we make hemp-based soft gels, CBD, CBG, CBN, but those same soft gels can also contain vitamin C, multivitamins, resveratrol, various nutraceuticals, nootropics, and that is what we are currently processing. We just have many orders right now for nutraceutical products, and we will continue forward with that. New capabilities, we are expanding our capabilities from the ones I mentioned. We just recently installed a high-speed rotary liquid filling line. In the beginning of 2022, probably Q2, we hope to have a dual feed powder filling line, so we could do powders, and that could be, you know, basic protein powders, sports powders, diet products, etc., as well as stick packs for convenience for adding to water bottles. A capsule filling line. That capsule filling line will be capable of filling capsules at 100 bottles per minute, tablets at 100 bottles per minute, and soft gels at 100 bottles per minute. A automatic cosmetic cream filling line. Right now we have semi-automatic cosmetic filling lines, which have, you know, very significant capabilities, as many as, you know, 10 to 20,000 units per day. The automatic line will increase that to 100,000 units per day. And we are currently negotiating with a firm in Canada for a chocolate line, and, you know, chocolates and candy, that really doesn't work here, but it will be functional chocolate. So it'll be very high-end cacao, and those chocolate products, bars, pieces, and truffles, can be infused with nutraceuticals and or hemp for a condition-specific product. For example, sleep, weight loss, menopause, PMS, are just to name a few. And then finally, a fully automated gummy manufacturing line. We do make gummies. That is in our capabilities right now, but we do those semi-manually. Currently, we produce anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 gummies per day, which is pretty significant. The automated gummy line will increase that to 50 to 60,000 gummies an hour. So a very, you know, exciting path forward for us. The gummy market continues to dominate the industry. So 2022 is the year that Chrysos reemerges as a full-service nutraceutical manufacturer, delivering branded and private label products, expanded contract manufacturing capabilities, and a multidimensional e-commerce and social media presence. As we launch our brand new line, that social media presence will also, we will be producing, you know, Instagram content for our other capabilities as well. So 2022 is a very, very bright beginning to the future of Chrysos. So with that, I'd like to turn the call back over to our CEO, Steve Wallach.
Thanks, Jim and Dave, thank you for that. What I'd like to do now is give a brief update on the direct selling division. One of the basics of network marketing is in-person events. During the pandemic, we have canceled in-person meetings held by the company since about March of 2020. We've obviously pivoted to virtual meetings utilizing Zoom and Facebook Live around the globe. Technology has made it made business possible in the field by the company and its distributors, but it's not a full replacement for in-person meetings. For 2021, we've held quarterly virtual events. The upcoming fourth virtual event for this year is the Fulfillment and Honor event. It'll be November 3rd and 4th. Zoom and virtual meetings have also allowed continuity in planning and enabling progress as to evolution and innovation as to new products. Various international markets, as well as regional variances of those markets, have different COVID rules and definitely different COVID challenges. Some of the markets have been in full lockdown for days to months throughout this process, and it's obviously had an effect on direct selling in our direct selling division. We're definitely anxious and excited to see the thawing of those rules and restrictions. Much of what Dave has already talked about and Jim, we're seeing kind of a slow return to normal and pre-pandemic levels of activity as we're beginning to see people return to traveling. Airports are becoming fuller. Restaurants are becoming fuller. Cruise lines are now cruising. And so people are returning to the office as well more and more. They've been working from home throughout this whole process. Unfortunately, with technology, they've effectively been able to work remotely, but more and more people are returning to the offices. Our primary markets continue to be the USA, Canada, Mexico, Australia, and New Zealand, with continued opportunities in other various markets. Primary products continue to see strong demand. Our 90 for Life initiatives, for example, we have new distributor promotional tools out, and we have more coming. We've definitely taken this opportunity or this time to expand and expound on our technology offerings for our distributors. Definitely have seen a lot of website and technology progress as we've worked our way through this process. It's definitely accelerated technology and the technology offerings. The supply chain, as Dave touched on, as far as ships and containers, and I'm here in our California offices currently, and I can definitely tell you that what you're seeing across the board is really a backlog of unloading ships when the ships do come into the port, definitely slowing delivery of raw materials. Certainly high quality natural ingredients have been a challenge to obtain consistently, which has caused delays in deliveries and manufacturing. And has also caused increases in costs throughout the entire enterprise. I definitely expect to see this continue into next year. So we're definitely excited to see that all kind of returning to normal and get behind us. As Dave also touched on, you know, we're committed to this divestiture that we've talked about and mentioned earlier. And so Dave's going to talk about that a little bit more as we get further into this call. And so what I'd like to do now is bring Dave back on the call to touch on that and provide further details.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. And as Steve brought up, yes, divestiture is definitely a hot topic as we start to move along in the audit process and get near to our goal of getting our current on our financials. It allows a divestiture to take place. Lack of that, all we can do is plan and put the pieces in motion. And trust me on this, we have been doing that, finding and seeking ways to expand the business. What will the company look like when the direct selling business goes back to private? And how are we going to replace that revenue? Has been something we've been working on feverishly since 2019, and have spent an inordinate amount of time. Lots of conversation and frankly, lots of progress in shaping the company, what will be the company and what will it look like once the divestiture takes place. Let's just talk about the process, first of all, getting to that end. Obviously, number one, we have to complete the audits. Lack of the completion of an audit, no divestiture. We don't have a trading stock to any magnitude. That is number one. We have to get there. Once we accomplish that, which we're targeting Q1 of next year, so that's not that far away. Once we get there, we expect to go to our shareholders and be able to allow them to vote on the divestiture plan, which will be fully baked and fully put together. And we'll put it out there with the knowledge. Of course, we want our shareholders to have the numbers that the direct selling business delivered, and then what the new business opportunities that will be coming into the business will deliver. Obviously, we want to do something to increase value to our shareholders. Once we begin the integration of these planned additional business units, at that point in time, we will start an investor relation and PR initiatives, and then we will outline our plan and strategy for what our ultimate goal is to get back to the NASDAQ. You know, it's still a painful experience for us what happened, but we know how to get on NASDAQ. We were there before, and we fully expect to make that happen. Timing for that, we get asked that a lot. It's probably going to be mid next year before we take a shot at that. We still got Q1 targeted to get current, go through the shareholder vote, finish up with the divestiture, and then we'll start thinking about the move up to the NASDAQ. But obviously being fully reporting is key for that. And we want to be able to have initiatives in place to bring best value to shareholders. We have been working, as I stated, on this divestiture right alongside with this audit process, and I've identified a number of viable business units that will reshape what this company will look like as the public company going forward as we divest we watch the direct selling business go in back into the private sector. The best thing about that, you heard Jim Gibbons on the call talking about its move. We fully expect, Steve's committed to it, to be one of the manufacturers of great products for the direct selling business. We make a fair amount here at Chrysos, and our move into powders will ensure that the direct selling company has best-in-class products always, and we expect on having a very long-term and strong relationship with one another over many, many years to come. I think what's important to know is a lot of divestitures, you hear about struggles of management and difficulty. There's none of that going on here. This move is clearly what's in the best interest of our distributor network and giving them the best value to feed their families and to have opportunities to do well and the best opportunity for our shareholders to maximize value. That's the sole reason for this. And we will make sure when we get to that process that we put things in place that fully benefit all the work that's happened over the years for our direct selling business and, of course, fully benefit, in this case, our Chrysos nutraceutical manufacturing business and Jim's expertise to keep delivering best-in-class products to Youngevity, the direct selling company. So we see that as a win-win. Our vision is to reshape the business so that our message and business model is built around four key attributes. Number one, something that we see not only dying in our country, but dying around the world. We want to get back to best-in-class customer service. That will be a paramount piece of what we do as an overall company as we look at the where the PubCo will head moving forward. We want to make sure that we have quality control with complete traceability. That's a very important piece of the puzzle in the nutraceutical business, and certainly one of the challenges that we're seeing the hemp business or hemp and CBD businesses with traceability. We will make sure that that is a top priority for our company, both in coffee and in hemp as key products. Sustainability will be a major buzzword for this company, and social responsibility. And when you really look at what we would have as the PubCo, when you look at coffee being field to finish or field to cup in this case, and controlling every aspect of the delivery of quality coffee from grow to processing to rainforest grow to all the other certifications like organic that we have, we really expect to not only make those businesses thrive, but get the word out on how key these businesses are onto today's buzzwords. And something that has come up, and I kind of alluded to it, the mill acquisitions. We believe there was a big opportunity or is a big opportunity to expand our ability to process coffee. When the issues happened with the container shortages, some weak hands that were in our market where they were having challenges because they only could depend on coffee. And of course, they couldn't get coffee out of the country. Fortunately, our model is diversified. We have roasting operations and so forth. We were able to take advantage of that situation. And we have entered into agreements that we expect to finalize. We are actually operating within those agreements as we speak and have acquired two additional mills in Nicaragua, and the capabilities of those mills and their drying capacities and their processing capacities gives us the potential to process up to 52% of the export coffee coming out of Nicaragua. So we're very, very excited about these deals. We expect to be announcing the terms of it in the closing. We are operating under an operating agreement as we speak. To give you an idea of the potential here, we expect that this piece of the puzzle is the piece of the puzzle that really will allow, one of the pieces that will allow the divestiture. Currently, we started operating these new mills alongside our own on September 1st. So we're basically 60 days into that operation. And our revenue over that 60 days in terms of outbound shipments is just over $8.3 million.
And by the before we finish October here in the next 9 days, we expect that to ship out at $11.5 million of coffee that we will have sold through our green coffee division in just those 60 days. And we're looking at dropping about $2 million of bottom line in that division. So that is a very, very significant improvement. And based on contracts that we have in place, we look at the coffee business being poised in position to replace the revenue of the direct selling business that would ultimately be divested. And that business is, of course, north of $100 million. So that's what we have our sights on with these new capabilities. And certainly, if the last couple of months are any indication, we should be able to make those numbers happen in 2022, which bodes well when we go to the vote of our shareholders and what the new company, the new shape of the public company will look like as a company focused, obviously, on coffee. And then, of course, focused on hemp. We are going to expand our hemp enterprise. I think Jim did a great job talking about our vision, so I won't spend too much more time on that. But that enterprise is congruent with our coffee message, and I think that's important. It also dovetails in to our Hemp Grow JV that we have in Nicaragua. We fully expect to build that out and be growing our own hemp and being field to finish on the hemp side. And of course, we're going to control the production of ingredients and complete the process through finished goods and manufacturing with a field to finish message. So very, very congruent between coffee and hemp. And we think that is a great story. And we are in the midst of negotiations for acquisitions of very, very interesting and unique technology. One technology that we're under agreement of but has not closed. So when that happens, we'll make those announcements. But it's a water technology that we anticipate to be operating shortly and then ultimately integrating into the PubCo when we get to the divestiture of the direct selling piece. We're extremely excited about how well this is going to fit into our vision for sustainability and being socially responsible. The upside on this water technology is very, very exciting. One of the most incredible technologies that I have seen in some time. And we expect to be able to make that technology work for us because of the shares, frankly, coming back on the divestiture. The key to these opportunities, whether we're expanding our current business segments or we're getting into new capabilities like this water technology, is that it's compatible with the vision of our company. We want to make sure that the vision of our company is in a position to leverage the shareholdings that is going to come back to the PubCo when we divest the direct selling division, in a manner that provides all of this expansion of our capabilities with minimal dilution. So we have been doing our level best in the meetings we've had to convince folks that our company has real value. And this coffee operation expansion that I talked about and the appraised value on those business units and the appraised values on the land, on the hemp land that we now own is north of $46 million of assets. So we look at the asset base, you start to realize the value that we can bring to the table. And obviously the numbers I spoke of just over the last 60 days on revenue, if we can annualize those types of numbers, we should be able to bring excellent value and frankly, in a business that's more compatible and frankly, a business that is our shareholder base or Wall Street finds more interesting to invest in. We have, like I said, agreements and the deal points already in place for the coffee expansion, also in place for hemp expansion. We're looking to acquire some hemp brand acquisitions and expansion. We have a couple of license agreements that we're in the final phases of executing related to this clean water remediation technology, and also a line of products utilizing industrial hemp, which will help us leverage our JV in Nicaragua on our hemp JV. We're going to use a combination of equity shares from the divestiture, a convertible debt structure, and a debt financing to complete these business expansions. You'll be happy to hear that our common stock for the convertible debt structure is being utilizing a valuation of $3 per share. So, you know, if that is any indication of where people are seeing the value of our company before we take on these businesses, I think that is a decent number when you look at where we are now. I almost feel like we're sadly not even public now, but we're going to resolve that here over the next months. Obviously, as we complete our business combinations with this valuation in place, we anticipate that our stock, when we finally normalizes with normal trading, will react accordingly and move in an upward trajectory. And we'll make sure that we have the IR and PR teams in place to make sure they get the message about what this new kind of reshaped company is and what it's all about. For everyone, we've recorded this call and we're going to upload it to YGYI.com. As I said earlier, we plan on referring back to this call as we start to release news and information pertinent to the items we discussed on this call. So there's a number of items we expect to put out news, and we'll refer people back to YGYI to listen to and be able to absorb that the pieces that we spoke about on this call are coming into place. On behalf of our CEO, Steve Wallach, our board of directors, and our entire executive team, we appreciate your continued support, and we look forward to speaking to you on a call in the future.